Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. The topic today is quite relevant today. Spirit wanted to send the message out to all those that are asking to find out more about what our ego is all about and how it's changing our lives, how it's working through our lives. And there are many myths about the ego, and hopefully we'll clear a little bit of it up. This is a big topic, so we'll try and put as much together in as possible today to tell them more about what the ego is all about. Before we get into that, this is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers that have been brought together to try to raise our vibration to a higher standard, a higher ability, so that as we are going through our daily lives, we are looking at things differently. The same things that are happening with other people, we're looking at that in a higher vibration. You could do that through readings. If somebody has a certain question that they would like answered, sometimes just knowing the answer, knowing the truth, changes your vibration dramatically. We've seen this many times in a reading. Also in a tuning situation where we are tuning your body, much like guitar, we're tuning a car, we're tuning something that is, everything is firing as per it needs to be. Our bodies are like that. We are like a piano where our tuning gets a little bit off. And so what those tuning forks do, that's how they actually tune a guitar or a piano, is through tuning forks of a different frequency and a tone. That's how our body works, is through vibration that way. We also have various classes that we work with. If you do energies through the home, we do things like feng shui, getting you to look at your home as a powerhouse or as a way to be able to have it detect what kind of things are going on. You can also do it through angel card reading. We have a class coming up, talks about that and how to read yourself and read other people as well. We can do many things through tuning forks and sound vibrations, through self-tuning classes. This is where you get three separate tuning forks and you could tune yourself every day through meditations that are in the book list, and we get a six-hour course. So in our topic today, I looked at the ego and really what it is. And the definition I got in many different books was, it is your conscious mind and your identity that is, you consider that is yourself. So it's you, it's your identity and in your conscious mind. So many people, they say, I just want to get rid of my ego. They come in for a reading with some readers, they'll say, yeah, your ego's in the way. Your ego's not letting you do that. Or if some people will say, yeah, my ego got hit. Ever hear that? Their ego got hit. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit and why that is so prevalent. But it is a necessary tool that we have as humans. We need an ego. We need something that is a barometer that keeps us in check. And in that way, we can always find out how much of this energy that is constantly at us while we are in physical form. So once we go to the light and we pass through this life and we go back into spirit, there's no need for an ego because we are pure energy. Coming down in our physical perspective, they have so many things of free will. We're going to be talking about free will and how all that comes together as part of the ego. But really, when people say that the ego got hit, not everyone has the same outcome, does it? So if we take someone, let's say, that has a basketball and they want to shoot the ball into the basket, either in a switch or a swish, as they call it, being able to do that, and let's say you have the perfection energy with you and your ego expects that every time you throw that ball, it will go in the basket, no problem. And when it does, you celebrate, the ego celebrates, yay, it's all about me. And then you say, okay, great, that's been great. But if it misses, the ego is now saying, oh, what did you do? It always passes and blames and sees the flaw in other things. It will never take responsibility of its own, does it? It doesn't say, oh, sorry, my fault, the wind caught it or something. And if you are so connected to a successful ending, your ego will be right on that track. And as soon as something doesn't go well, right away your ego gets hit. Would also be very applicable to someone who asks someone out for a date and goes up to the person, would you like to go out? Yes, I would. So your ego is preserved in that way. But what if they say no? It's like, oh, what's wrong with me? Oh, gee, I should have lost some weight. I should have gone out. In other words, we're always looking fault in ourselves. And the ego does a fine job doing that. But that's only an outcome. Not everybody reacts the same way, does it? There are people that I even know to this date, they could shoot 25 of those basketballs and miss every single one of them. And they laugh and they don't care. And for them, it doesn't hit the ego. Now, why not? Because to one person, it was a huge difference. They thought there was something wrong with them, that how come I can't do this? It's an easy skill to throw a ball into a hole, basically. How come I can't do this? When someone else can do it and they don't care. What is the ego connected to? Going back to the example of the date. Let's say the person says no. And they say, oh, okay, I'll go ask Mary. And if she says no, I'll go ask Joan and I'll go ask Cindy or something. In other words, it doesn't hit the ego. They just want to go out with somebody. Because being alone is great, but maybe sharing the moment with someone else is even better. The ego doesn't get hit in that way. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the ego can be programmed, doesn't it? Because you won't get the same situation, another person, and it's going to be a different outcome. You're going to react differently. So that means however way they're running their energy is different, and it's not hitting the ego. So that means they're doing something that is on a different plane than just the ego. Otherwise, anybody could shoot the ball in the hoop, and if they miss, they're upset or disappointed, and if they get it in, they're happy. But not everybody has the same reaction, does it? This tells us that depending on what your mindset is and what your energy and how you're managing things will be greatly changed on the way the ego responds to it in that way. So it's all about what you're feeding in the energies of yourself, because you know that your creator, and that's what you want to be, as close to the creator as possible. In other words, unconditional love. You want to have understanding and compassion, you know, all the things we've heard about as being in spirit sort of thing. I guess our task and our mission for many of us, all of us, in at least one of them, is to be compassionate with people, is to be able to not think of yourself all the time. Because that's another part of the ego that loves to be able to say, hey, I did that, look at me, look at what I did, look at my diploma, look at my certification, I lost another 40 pounds. And this is great that you have this with you, but if you're looking for validation from social media saying, hey, way to go, you lost 40 pounds, good for you, that's great. If you need that, be careful, because the ego will come back and bite you big time. Because all it takes is one person to say, so what? So you lost 40 pounds. I used to weigh 518 pounds, and today I weigh 210. I lost over 300 pounds. Nobody gave me a fanfare. In other words, reading that, you'll read it and saying, oh, someone isn't happy with my 40 pounds. Oh, that's not good. The dopamine kicks in right away, and the ego says, yeah, this is your fault. Why did you post it? You know, there's all kinds of things, eh? When we are doing that Me Too effect, if you need other people's validation, be very careful. And this includes business deals. If you've got a good business going, that's great. But the whole world doesn't need to know about it. And all the things and the ways that you run that business or run your life, most of that is all about, I want to see what other people think of how great I am. You know, and there's always going to be somebody that'll say, so what? And if that will be devastating for you, then yeah, the ego is a little mismanaged, is what Spirit is saying. In other words, you shouldn't need other people's validation to do all this stuff. It is all about that way to be able to deal with stress and deal with disappointment. Speaking of that, there are situations that Spirit actually will allow you to fail. If you have an overactive ego, And what they're saying here is, let's say it's all about me. Everything is about me. Me, 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 me. And then you say, well, what about you? Hey, me too. In other words, you're always speaking of yourself. After a while, the spirit or the energies around you will want to start correcting that or give subtle, loving suggestions on how you can subtle that so that you're now thinking of other people. Because really, that's what it's about. It's not about showing how great you are. It's okay if someone else says you're great or if the media says you're great. I mean, it is what it is. But don't make it so you need that. Because sometimes spirit will let you fail. And the way they do that is they just have you totally activate everything and you make all the wrong decisions and right down to rock bottom. Now, this could be in a relationship. The relationship used to go okay. And then all of a sudden, there's a very nasty divorce and you hit rock bottom. Or you do a business deal and one thing leads to another and you lose everything. You lose your house. All you're left with is the clothes on your back. That's happened to many people. When spirit lets that happen, they don't cause that to happen because there's enough dark energies around us that, you know, we'll go there. But spirit will let that happen just so the ego dies. Because when you're at rock bottom, boy, is your ego quiet. It doesn't say anything. It can't say it's your fault or my fault because it's devastated that it made the choice to go into that deal, go into that relationship, or go into whatever, and it totally flopped in your perception. It didn't flop. That was what you're supposed to do, but they let it happen so you could go down to Control-Alt-Delete, and now your ego is broken. It's basically non-existent, and that is where you start up again. The people that start up again in those cases, they now are managing their ego in a different way. They're now doing that, the look at me, because you know what? I thought I could never fail, and then I did. I became a statistic. I had to declare bankruptcy or whatever the situation was. All of a sudden, they're humble. All of a sudden, they're thinking, oh boy, I sure know what it takes to run a business. I sure know what it takes to have a loving relationship. And after 5, 6, 10, 20, 50 years later, you're still loving to the person that you married. Don't think it's so easy, because now you're managing it. Recently, I saw two elderly couples through various videos over a 24-hour period. Spirit showed me this one couple, and they were so loving to each other. They just celebrating their 75th wedding anniversary, so you can only imagine. And they still call themselves Boo Boo, and they still call themselves all kinds of nicknames, you know, Pretty Face and Loving, Darling, and they're very, very gentle to each other after 75 years of marriage. And they said when they were married, they were still together 5 or 6 years before they got married. So they've known each other for over 80 years. Then, within a short time later, I saw this other couple. They were celebrating their 60th, I believe. It looks like it was but the 60th. Boy, all the comments, I can't even say some of it, but in a way that they were so rough with each other. He says, yeah, well, that's how stupid you really are. And then they had a lot of other profanity in there. And he says, I can't believe how crazy you are. She says that to him and vice versa. And they're still together. And so you can only imagine that there's two different ways that you could run even a marriage that's been put together that way. And I can't imagine what the ego would be doing on both those occasions. One is a high vibration. They think that they both are so lucky to have each other. And the other, they can't wait to get away from each other, but yet they still need each other, which is why they're still together. So there's a dependency there. Again, it is one of those traps. But when you work it that way, it is actually the moment when you lose everything that it's that special time where you can really reprogram your ego. It has to fully break. It also applies to a business. If you've been building your business based on anger, all those times you miss with family reunions, all those times you miss, you know, not seeing your kids talk for the first time, not seeing your kids walk for the first time, or the first time they had solid food, you missed all that because I just have to go to work and you're putting in the 18 hours a day just because you feel that's what it takes. Not saying that's in the beginning, that's not what you end up doing, but if that is your overall perception of how a business becomes successful, it's going to be a real big eye-opener when it comes to the point where your whole business when it becomes successful, because it will, because it's from sheer will, it's your energy, right? It will be successful. But it was based on success, based on anger, based on missing all those wonderful times. It wasn't based on love, appreciation, gratitude, looking out for other people. You're just thinking of yourself in the beginning. What will end up happening is you'll end up losing it. You'll end up losing everything. The house, the car, all the business, and starting over. This time, when you start over, most times it happens where you're now doing it in a different way. They're running it in a different way. They have a higher appreciation for money. They have a higher appreciation for people. They have a higher appreciation for just the little things in life, because they missed the first 15, 20 years of their kids. And I won't be doing that with my grandkids, or I won't be doing that anymore. So in other words, you have a different viewpoint and you're building this new business based on a different set of energies. And that you can't kill. That will never die. But the other one had to, in other words. So that's what it really takes when you talk about the ego and all the things that are necessary for it. But it's really, really difficult to be able to hold your own light when you have darkness, isn't it? I mean, when you're looking at things that are, you have a business and you have to make decisions that will work. You have to make decisions that will be able to be successful so that you could support your family. You can move ahead. You can do all these great things. You have to make decisions, and sometimes you're all alone and you just have to say, well, you know, I trust in what I'm doing. I feel that this is the way to go. And your ego will say, no, that's not the way. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Just do this. But you feel that's not the way you need to go. But you still have free will. You could go in the direction of what you feel will not work because you do have the gift of free will. However, which way are you guided to go? Your heart will tell you, and everything in your being will say, I know I have no evidence whatsoever. Tell me that I need to go in this direction. I went through that in the early stages of our moving business, where we invested some money in some outdoor crates, outdoor containers where we could store people's furniture in and so on. And we were losing money hand over fist. And we got to the point where I get it, honey, but I really think that this direction is where we need to go. I get it. We could go this way, but I'm not getting that's the right choice. And it didn't take long before we realized that more and more people started booking it that way, and it went totally in the right direction. We ended up making a lot more customers, a lot more funds, and so on. So it made a huge difference. But I had no evidence at the time. I had to hold my own light where I had no reason to do that. It's just what I felt. That's how I ran my business then. But when we are doing that, the ego is really active. It's constantly trying to tell you that this is not the way to go. We need to do something else. We need to go somewhere else. So how do you know when your ego is overactive? Some people will ask that. What is with an overactive ego? Well, here's a couple of signs. There's a few of them, but some of the top ones are if you are easily offended, right? If somebody says you don't have a good business and you get mad, why? Who cares? Who cares what people say about your business or about if they comment on your kids or your family? That's a different thing. But to find if somebody criticizes you and they don't know you that well, or somebody says something on social media, people get all upset. And I go, okay, that's an overactive ego. Just by the reaction, it was a very, very simple comment. He says, I don't know why you got into this business anyway. Now, you could say that in various texts. You know, you can say it in a funny way. Man, I don't know what made you get into that business, or what made you get into that business, right? You say it differently with the same words, but when you're writing it, you don't know the connotation of the emotion, right? So somebody will just take it that, oh, I bet, and I'm assuming they meant in this way, insulting. And so they react very heavily. That's an overactive ego. Because they're assuming so much. And again, you're looking at all of the things that other people think about what you are doing. Another one, if somebody just says the smallest thing, like, if I do that, if I come to you, I'm going to cry. One of my students recently that said they were at a show and a person walked by and they said, oh, what are those? And she says, they're tuning forks. Would you like to try it? And the person says, no, I think I'm going to cry if I do that. So their assumption is they don't even know what it is. They don't even know the effects of it, but they're thinking that I'm going to cry. That's a saturation point. In other words, that's an overactive ego saying, you can't do it, you're no good, you're not enough, and that is not managed. And that's actually disrespectful, and I'm telling that in a disrespectful way to the ego, because egos are much like children. What would happen if you never managed your kids? You gave your kids anything they wanted. Anything. You want ice cream for breakfast? Here you go. You want not go to school today? You can do what you want. You don't manage your kids for several years. What do you think would happen in a few years? Those that have kids, those that have grandkids, would probably guess that I don't even want to know, because it was hard enough to manage them and we had to maybe discipline them and do various things so they're safe. So they become contributing adults down the road. Not managing them was never an option. But people that don't manage their kids, we see the effects of it. I have seen three-year-old kids in a restaurant behave themselves so well that I couldn't stop looking at this kid. He says, can I please have some crackers? Can I please have a glass of water? 3 years old. Few aisles down, there's an 8-year-old tearing up the restaurant. All the menus are flying, serviettes, the salt goes off the table, and the parents aren't saying anything because for them, this is normal. So the ego, I think, in some ways are a little bit like that. If you don't manage your ego, it just runs away with you and it becomes oversensitized, overactive, and then who knows what happens. An overactive ego will always tell you you're not enough. What the heck are you doing? Who does dishes that way? I heard that the other day. Who does dishes that way? What do you mean? Washing dishes? What do you mean, what way? The way you're doing it. Who taught you how to do that? What difference? I'm washing dishes. In fact, you should be happy I'm doing anything. But the idea here is when others are criticizing you and it doesn't bother you, it means you have your ego in check. So this is where you can start feeling good and start looking really good that way. So there's many other ways how we can guide our energies, and most of it is going to be in a blind way in the beginning, because the ego really doesn't know how you want to operate, because it's constantly learning. Even if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, it's still possible to change and reprogram the ego so it can now give you the raw materials you need. It's been so long for me. In my early stages of business, I was an angry person. I was the guy that went to the basement after a really, really tough day, just me working, and the kids would do something and I would never touch them. I never laid a hand on them, but I would go to the basement and put holes in the wall by punching through it. That was me then, but it took me a few years before I realized that, okay, there was something in me that had to change. And so I made the effort to say, I got to have a gentler self-image, a gentler person inside of me that could do it. And then I stopped doing all that stuff. And now anger doesn't come up. I still get upset. I still get disappointed sometimes, but it's for very, very short distances, very short times. This way, it's just constant evidence that I'm making progress by seeing the things and looking for something even better. I ask myself, I know things are great right now, and I am doing great. I'm looking great. I love the way my body heals, and I do all these mantras every day. I always end it with, Universe, show me how it can get a little better. Doesn't matter where I am. I could be living in a box. Show me how it can get a little better. I could have a beautiful home with a cottage and a boat. Show me how it can get a little better. And it's all done in silence. It's all done in quiet. I never post this stuff on any of the social medias because I don't need any validation there. I know things are going well and I see it. When you have that communication, the ego runs in line with that. Then all of the stuff with the ego will be, are you sure? In other words, if I make a decision, are you sure? And I always say, yes, I am sure. One of my favorite speakers is Dave Guyhem, speaking business and a coaching business. And there's one example he had that sort of caught my eye. And he says, if you're looking for a soulmate, a partner in your life, and he's not there, or she's not there, it's that, how come this person is not in my life. The ego takes it personally. And then it says to you, it's your fault. It blames. How come you didn't work out more? Again, those examples that we have already talked about. So instead of the ego taking over, and then spend time with yourself, not in loneliness or not in despair, but in search for a higher version of yourself. The very thing that you may see as a flaw may be the very thing your soulmate will find irresistible. And this goes back to a quote that I heard from Leo Biscaglia back in the 90s, and I remember him so clearly. He was a professor in the University of California. And in one of his talks, he always said, just celebrate everything about you. If you have fat thighs, celebrate them, because only then will a fat thigh lover come along. So the very flaw that you think you have might be the very thing that your soulmate or this person will absolutely love about you. So it's not about looking at yourself and feeling all of that. One last test before we get into the meditation. We have a really nice one today. One thing that I got from this other gentleman, because I always scour to see what people are talking about in terms of the different aspects of how people see their ego and how ego is sort of felt in other people, was this gentleman by the name of Nanak Nayam. He says, to test your free will and the power of your ego, here's a quick exercise you could do. He says, do you know the next thought that you're going to create? Just want you to have your mind and just think of what your next thought could be. Do you know what it is ahead of time? Or are you waiting, sitting, waiting for something to pop into your head? Since you are the creator of your thoughts, do you think you are that creator? Are you creating your own thoughts, in other words? Not even your ego will know what your next thought will be. However, it reacts to your next thought, whatever thought that will eventually appear. The way it usually goes is that thoughts are not created in your head. It goes through your head. Thought might come in, oh, well, what about a vacation? Okay, vacation. All of a sudden, you're thinking rental cars, hotels. We got to book catamaran to go, you know, all these activities when we get to wherever we're going to. We'll need a bathing suit, we'll need suntan lotion, and the whole thing. So all these are a flood of thoughts after one thought comes in. All I said was vacation. Some people will say, oh yeah, fishing boat excursion. We'll need a boat, we'll need lines, we'll need bait, we're going to need a coat. When we get on the water, it might get cold, and the whole thought comes in. But where did that come from initially? Your mind doesn't create that. It's usually what will end up happening is, what are you normally thinking about? And it's the pattern of your thoughts over the last several years. If you're always thinking, I want to have a good time today, then those things that are having a good time will just naturally come up first. If a person says, I want to know how inappropriate I am, I want to know all the things I screwed up on, well, then all of those things will come to you and not necessarily will make you feel good, right? But those thoughts are all coming in based on what you are vibrating to. But here's the thing, although your ego did not create that thought, it is the first in line to say, I did that. So just to show that it's not really authentic, your ego constantly wants to prove to you that it's a big thing. One last thing was, I heard from this one doctor, and he spent a lot of time in the palliative care hospitals. These are people that have literally days or weeks to live. People are put in there. And he says he sees it all the time in this environment, where he'll see patients literally 2 hours to 4 hours from death. And he says all of a sudden, the client, the patient on the bed will just start breathing huge breaths of air. And they're either unconscious, some of them are in a coma, some of them are unconscious, some of them can't do any speaking. There's so many things that they can't say or do. They can barely raise their hand, he said, because they're so weak. They're under 100 pounds or whatever the case is. But then all of a sudden, they take this huge breath of air. And for 2 minutes, they're like doing massive, massive streams of breath. And he says, you know what that is? That's the ego that just died. Because Through their whole life, the ego has not let them live. We should go to Europe. No, no, it's going to be too expensive. We should get some flowers for you, for your birth. No, no, they're going to die anyway. We should do this. No, that's not a good idea. Well, let's go to Paris for the weekend. Oh, no, why should we spend the money? In other words, the ego is always there to cut something down, to make you live. And it's there your whole life. And 2 hours before your death, it can't manage anything. There's nothing to manage. You're either unconscious, you can't speak, your mouth is open. That's one of the first signs that your soul is about ready to leave your mouth. By the way, that's why the mouth is open, is that's how the soul leaves. That's one of the ways. And once the ego dies, but the body is still alive, is it wants to take its huge breath. These huge gaps of breath, so 3-4 minutes. He says he witnessed one lady for 2 hours breathing that way. Huge breath in, huge breath out, huge breath in. They try to talk to her and she's incoherent. She's just breathing because now the body is free. Finally, in the first time in its life, it's free, that the ego isn't governing it. And he says they see it all the time. Nurses see it all the time. And that's when they know that the ego has just dropped, which a short time later, the body will end up dying as well. But the ego goes first. So what that means is that although we can program our egos to do whatever it is we want to do, we need to manage it so we don't end up so that our body is trying to compensate for all of the years of breathless things that it could have done, all those amazing things you could have done in Paris. You know, imagine going to Paris. And just for the weekend, like it's $149 and you're just going for 2 days. Nobody goes for 2 days, but you do because it's spontaneous. It makes you breathe. There's so many diamond companies that says, give her a diamond. It'll take her breath away. Anything to do with breath, you know, do this and you're just going to love. You breathe in all of the sights and sounds of wherever you're going to go. And I think what ends up happening, and that's maybe not a think, it's a feeling more that when we deny ourselves of all the things that could make us breathe a little better, when we deny ourselves that, it goes into a little bank account. It goes into a little storage somewhere in your body. So as soon as the ego drops, then this opens up and releases before we go back to the light. Be an interesting concept when we could do whatever we feel we need to do. Stop thinking that just because you might stutter a little bit that you have nothing to say. Years ago, I had a really bad speech impediment. I couldn't say 2 words without making it last longer. And I didn't speak much in class. And it didn't stop me from speaking. I kept speaking even though I was tripping over my words. It didn't matter. Nobody said that there was anything going on. I just loved speaking in front of a group of people because I felt I had something to say. And people say, that was really good. I learned a lot at that one. Oh, good. I'm glad. And I just moved on. It didn't make any difference for me to go or not, but it was nice that I made a difference for one person. And whether it's just one or more, it doesn't matter about numbers. It says that now that I'm connected to spirit, which I've been blessed with the last 20 years, the first 40 years, I was just feeling stuff and I thought it was just a mistake. I thought it was just lucky that I could sometimes pick the numbers on the lottery, or I would hear something or sense something. And then within 30 seconds, somebody would say it. I thought that was lucky until I realized it was spirit talking to me the whole time. And once I kind of got connected to spirit, since they have so much to say, I have a lot to say. So, okay, so let's get into the meditation. What I want you to do in this meditation is I want you to ask the ego, how are you doing? I want you to know that you are not in charge. And neither am I. I'm not in charge. And you're just along for the ride. I would appreciate, though, any sense of danger that's coming would be a safety to my physical body. That would be good. You can still do those things. But anything to do with me not breathing enough because of something I've denied myself of having fun, you don't need to do that anymore. So in other words, have a conversation with your ego and tell them that I'm not going to be listening to you anymore. If I feel that I need to do something, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just saying it so that you won't be surprised. and it has nothing to do with you. It's just that I'm getting that I need to do this rather than you telling me what to do. It starts with your ego. When your ego realizes that it's along for the ride, will that manage your ego enough to leave you alone more so that you can live your life in better ways? And it will always try, like any kid, even when they're 30, they still try to see what they can get away with, right? Your kids are like that. And the ego is like that too, and it's okay because we have a healthy relationship, but it's not toxic. It's a relationship that will last as long as we have respect for each other. And I'm telling you, out of respect to the ego, that I'm not going to be listening to you anymore, because every time I listen to you, I somehow am behind, or I somehow don't feel, or something I should have done, I didn't do because I listened to you. So I don't want to blame you. This is a learning lesson for me, both of us, to have a great time. We're on this earth for whatever short time it is, so let's have fun. Have a conversation with your ego and see what comes out of this. We're going to play the water meditation, and it's all about flow. It's all about just going with the flow. Something comes up, let's just do it. Let's see where it goes. So that is in the flow. You get something spontaneous, as water would be. You take the shape of any container. You're easy, you're fluid. You're in that flow, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.